Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked on Wolves. It's game day. Today we're going to talk about what to expect at Wolves Grizzlies tonight. The bigger picture of Anthony Edwards and expand it a little bit on the conversation about his poise and how ready he's been for the playoffs. And then I want to get a little bit more in the weeds on some keys to the game Tuesday night. What I'm going to be watching most closely in game two of the series. It's all coming up on the show. Welcome in. You are Locked on Wolves.
You are Locked on Timberwolves. Your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Happy game day. Game two of Timberwolves Grizzlies is this evening. We're going to talk all about that on the show today, what to expect from the game, what I'm going to be watching for. I want to start with some Anthony Edwards talk once again, because, I mean, it doesn't get old talking about Ant, and there's plenty to say after his game one performance, and also going all the way back to the play-in last Tuesday. There's a ton to get to related to him, as always. First of all, though, a big thank you for making Locked on Wolves your first listen each and every day. A reminder that Locked on Wolves is free and available everywhere. That includes YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. That includes Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find this show. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked on T-Wolves. And at B Beacon, and that's with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, let's go ahead and jump into the Anthony Edwards conversation. And I do want to get to Tuesday night's game, but I spent Monday's show. If you missed it, go back and listen to it or watch it on YouTube. I talked a lot on Monday about kind of three things the Wolves did well on Saturday. We can expect to see moving forward. Two things that I'm worried about that didn't go well. They've got to change before Tuesday night. So I kind of already did that, and I think that relates to a game preview, if you want to call it that. But there are three specific things that I came up with that I want to watch very, very intently on Tuesday night for game two. So we'll get to that later, but I want to start with the Anthony Edwards conversation. I spent quite a bit of time on Monday's show and also on Locked on NBA. If you heard the segment that I did with Jackson Gatlin at Locked on NBA, he asked quite a bit about Anthony Edwards, right? The national audience wants to know. If you're not a regular listener to this podcast, if you're not a Timberwolves fan or haven't seen a lot of games this year, what I've been telling people every time they ask about Anthony Edwards is that what he did isn't really a surprise. If you weren't watching much of Anthony Edwards this year, then I could see this being a shock, right? This is the first real true national audience. He missed like the win over the Lakers early this season. He had COVID when they beat the Lakers in December on ESPN. I think he played in the one TNT game the Wolves had, but like if you're not a league pass watcher who watches the Timberwolves a lot, this wasn't really a surprise. People around the Timberwolves, people that watch the Timberwolves know that Anthony Edwards has this performance in him and wouldn't be nervous about the big stage, right? And he's said every time he's asked in the media, hey, just another game for me. But at the same time, he means that in the best way, in the sense that he's not nervous about it. He's not going to, you know, clam up. But he also knows that there's a spotlight, right? He knows exactly how many eyeballs are on him, and he's ready to put on a show. That's what he wants to do. He loves to do that. He loves to silence opposing crowds. He loves to play to the home crowd when the Wolves are at Target Center. So none of that's a surprise. I think what's most impressive is the level of, what's the best way to say this? Even keeled. I guess that he's got on the floor, right? So Anthony Edwards is always calm. He's always even keeled. Even when he's going really well, right? I don't want to say he never gets high, never gets too low, because he'll flex on you if he dunks on you. He'll let out, a scream if he does something incredible. He'll play to the crowd. He'll pump up the crowd. He'll talk back to the people in the front row at visiting arenas. He does all those things. But he never really gets low, right? There's never this like, I don't have it tonight. Even when he's had poor shooting nights, he's been just totally fine to defer to teammates. He doesn't disappear into the corner like other players the Timberwolves have had in their history. He doesn't become sloppy with the basketball really ever. He just takes bad shots sometimes and misses them. But that gets to my next point about Ant is something I'm very impressed with how he played specifically on Saturday is he didn't push the issue, right? He scored, 36 on Saturday? All kinds of historic, talk around that number in terms of the youngest player ever to do such and such, or one of the youngest players ever to do such and such, and the playoff debut, et cetera. But it never felt like he was taking that heat check shot, right? Which is great. And that's something that has been a concern for him. Concern's a strong word, because if he's taking a heat check shot, that means he's playing really well. But occasionally that'll kind of snowball a little bit for him. But what's most impressive about Anthony Edwards is what I think is going to make him almost impossible to stop for the Memphis Grizzlies. And that's this. A lot of guards, or a lot of great players, a lot of basically non-bigs that get the ball on the perimeter a lot, and teams can try and slow them down by loading up on them, right? And we saw this a little bit late in the Grizzlies game, the second half at least of game one, is the Grizzlies would send a second defender kind of, as soon as Ant kind of went into isolation mode, they'd send a second defender. A third would kind of creep over along, along the free throw line. So they're kind of, shadow, almost triple teaming him. And as soon as he gets inside the arc, they kind of collapse on him. Well, Anthony Edwards is more than happy to pass. He's not going to drive into a true double or a triple team. If he does, he's probably going to get fouled, but he's not going to get himself into trouble. He's actually making the right reads, passing the ball when he's supposed to, kicking the ball out to the perimeter. The Wolves as a team were moving the ball well. And the second piece of that is you've either got to make the open shot that Ant creates or move the ball until you find an open shot that was initially created off of Ant's original drive to the basket, right? Or at least, what started as a drive to the basket, but then proceeded into a kick out, swing the ball around the perimeter, find an open shot or find a cutter later in the sequence. But what's so impressive to me is that he has the wherewithal to make those passes. And that's something that coming into the league as a rookie, I was worried he wouldn't have. And he didn't have. Most rookies don't right away, right? He didn't have the, we'll compare, in this sense, the LaMelo Ball court vision, right? He didn't have the ability to read the timing and spacing and then make that next level read and then complete the pass, right? It was all very first read. I made up my mind. Here's what I'm going to do. We're starting to see the next steps of that now. And he's got the physical ability to do it. He's obviously very intelligent. He's got to see more coverages and understand the timing and spacing more. We're starting to see that now. And if teams load up on him, he's going to kick it to Karl-Anthony Towns in the slot. One of the best shooting players, full stop, in the league. Three-point champion, right? Certainly the first, or maybe at the moment, second best shooting big of all time, but one of the best shooters in the league, full stop. Swing it to Patrick Beverley, who's a very good three-point shooter. Numbers are down a little this year. He's still like 40% from the corner, 30, above average, 36, 37, whatever he was, percent from three this year. For his career, over 38%. Got D'Angelo Russell. Again, a little bit of a down shooting year, but a dangerous shooter, somebody who can also, drive and kick. So the other players around Ant are combined with Ant's ability to drive and kick or make the right read is what's going to make the Wolves nearly unstoppable. Ant's problem, if he runs into a problem, right? If you as a defense, the way you succeed against Anthony Edwards is you force him into becoming a three-point shooter. He is at least an average three-point shooter. Very soon, he's going to be better than an average three-point shooter. When he's in a groove, he's basically unstoppable. But if you can get him to get into trouble, that means shooting a semi-contested 28-footer instead of driving. Because if Ant drives, he's going to either make the right read and dunk on you, or he's going to make the right read and make the proper pass out to the perimeter, to a cutter, to an open shooter. The only way you're going to stop him is if you can convince him into becoming a jump shooter from the perimeter. And I don't know how, I don't know that any team has, I wouldn't shock me if Memphis is going through all the Wolves games this year and trying to find games where Ant was less efficient to see if teams goaded him into shooting difficult threes. Now, if he makes those, which he's fully capable of doing, he has limitless range on his jumper, then you're screwed if you're the defense. But if you can goad him into those and he's not on, that's the only way you're going to slow him down. He's making the proper reads throughout game one, throughout the play-in against the Clippers last Thursday. The ball's in Anthony Edwards' hands. He's not making the wrong decision. At least 9 times out of 10, he was making the correct decision in these two games. And the Grizzlies are going to have a real tough time slowing him down. I want to touch on his defense, and not just him, another perimeter player for the Wolves, here in just a second. And then I want to get into specifically what I'm watching for on Tuesday night in game two. We're going to do all that here next. First, though, let's talk about our friends over at Prize Picks. NBA fans, are you looking for a daily fantasy option for the NBA? Then you need to try the award-winning app Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Absolutely love Prize Picks, and I know you will too. It's super easy to use. You just pick 2 to 5 players and over-under on their projections. You can win up to 10 times on any entry. And it's just you versus the projected numbers. You're not playing against other people or people with algorithms or whatever, professional DFS players. Prize Picks is amazing because, again, it's just you versus the numbers. You can make your entry in less than 60 seconds. It's also safe and offers fast withdrawals. You can use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Here's how it works. You just pick any prop you can think of. You can pick points scored, rebounds, steals. So, for instance, on Tuesday night, you could pick Karl-Anthony Towns points over, Anthony Edwards steals over. You can also do mixed sport entries. So like if you're also a baseball fan, the Twins are playing Tuesday night, I think in Kansas City, you could take I don't know, Carlos Correa over on hits. You could take Anthony Edwards over on steals cross sports. You could also bet on, you know, you could also play, do an entry with college basketball if it's basketball season, or if it's college basketball season, NFL, soccer, MMA, whatever it is, you can cross sports when you're doing this. For a limited time, Prize Picks has an exclusive no-brainer of an offer for all of our users. Users get $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores a single point, but you must use code NBA. That's right. This is an exclusive offer available to Locked On listeners only. Sign up today and use the code NBA, $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores a single point. Let's also talk about our friends over at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. You can find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of the Major League Baseball season. By the way, the line for Wolves-Grizzlies Game 2 is still at -7 at BetOnline.net. Hasn't moved since it opened. I think it opened at 7. Crazy to me that it's still sitting at 7, but I don't know. We'll see. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Thanks again for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. For your next listen, you can check out the Locked On Now podcast, nightly recaps of every NBA game with analysis from our local experts. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. We're still doing it in the postseason, so it's the best way to get caught up on the action from the night before. If you missed the rest of the games on Tuesday because you're locked in on the Wolves game, you can't think and function and watch the other games like I pretty much am. Anytime the Timberwolves are playing, I'm so locked in on that one. You can listen to Locked On Now. You get a better kind of 60 to 90 second recap summary of what happened, what you need to know from the game. It's better than scrolling Twitter. It's better than watching the highlight shows or box scores or whatever it is you do to get caught up on the NBA. Make sure to check out the Locked On Now podcast. Okay. Another point on Anthony Edwards. Well, actually two things. First, if you haven't listened to Bill Simmons' show on The Ringer this week, he did a two-part pod with Ryan Russillo, and, I'm not endorsing everything, but I'm endorsing the Timberwolves part of the conversation, which was the first part of their part two podcast. They had a long Anthony Edwards conversation, probably 30 total minutes involving the Wolves, 15 to 20 of which were about Anthony Edwards. And, you know, certainly jumping into hyperbole territory with where they're ranking his potential, his ceiling, et cetera. It's fun to indulge in it. And I actually co-sign a lot of what they were saying. They talked a lot about his poise. And I think the word they settle on is calm. Again, this is Bill Simmons and Ryan Russillo on Simmons' show. And regardless of what you think of that show or of either of those podcasters, commentators, analysts, whatever you want to call them, I thought this was a pretty good conversation. And what I don't know how much Edwards they've actually watched, but their recognition of his level of, and the word they settle on again is calm. I think that's the best way to talk about Anthony Edwards. And I talked about his poise earlier. But the fact that he's kind of got that it factor, right? Where there is this sense of calm around him. He knows what he's doing. The moment's not too big, but he still wants to absolutely rip your heart out if you're the opposing player, fan, coach, whatever. What he's done throughout the season, telling the opposing coach, hey, you need a timeout, that sort of thing, like talking to the fans. He doesn't care, but he cares so much, right? He doesn't care what the moment is, but he wants to win so badly. It's like the perfect balance of everything. And I thought they hit the nail on the head with that conversation. It overall was pretty good discourse. I'm not going to repeat a lot of what they said. Go listen to it if you're interested. But basically, just know that they're talking about, you know, is this a moment for Anthony Edwards? Now, we're a play-in game in game one into the playoffs. But Wolves fans know the growth we've seen from Anthony Edwards throughout this year. So everything I said in the first segment applies. And I thought that those two did a pretty good job breaking it down. And from a national perspective, guys who have probably watched a handful of Wolves games this year, but a lot of people listen to that show and a lot of people, you know, formulate opinions off of that. And this is the conversation that nationally is about to be had about Anthony Edwards, is like, what's the next step here for him? And so I thought that was pretty interesting. Okay, one other thing about Ant and also Malik Beasley. Defensively, I've talked a little bit more recently about how his on-ball defense, meaning Anthony Edwards, has been really, really good of late. And I want to underline it, underscore it, whatever, because it really was in both the Clippers game on Tuesday and game one of the Memphis series on Saturday, when he was put on Paul George, when he was put on Saturday, occasionally John Morant, the Wolves, I mentioned this in the show, I think on Monday, certainly in the postcast that we did live Saturday, myself and Chilenga on Locked On Minnesota Sports. The Wolves actually had Anthony Edwards basically denying the catch on John Morant a couple of different times down the floor late when Morant would dump the ball off. The Wolves were switching most things later in the game on Saturday. And he ended up on Ja and was just straight up denying the ball, like not allowing the Grizzlies to run their offense back through John Morant. And, you know, that is the type of off-ball defense we don't often see from Anthony Edwards. And again, I don't know if this is simply playoffs, like he knows it's winning time, he's locked in. I don't know if it's overall growth and maturation as a player, understanding you know, his role more or just locking in more. I saw some people talking on Twitter about, like, you know, the analysis. I think it was David Thorpe, I don't know if he's still at ESPN, but the former coach and analyst was talking about his pre-draft evaluation of Edwards was off because he was worried about his motor. That was a consistent concern. And he determined he's probably just bored at Georgia, right? I mean, his team was below 500 in college. Ant was so talented. What am I doing here? He was just jacking up 30 footers and whatever he was doing, not playing defense, looking disinterested on both ends of the floor if the ball was in his hands or he wasn't guarding the ball. We've seen that a little bit in the NBA. And Chris Finch even said post-game on Saturday, Edwards just can't get bored. He has to stay locked in the series. Now, there's no reason for him to get bored in the playoffs. It's not like the Wolves are the number one seed. They didn't just win 65 games. Like, there's a lot to prove. And so I don't think that's a real concern at this stage. But, like, next year in the regular season, can't be bored, right? I mean, you can afford to take a few nights off here and there throughout the course of the season. I mean, LeBron would take off a mid-December game against the Charlotte Bobcats several years ago, or whatever the equivalent is now, obviously not literally take it off, but just kind of, you know, not try as hard. That's the thing that stars can get away with at times when you're a really good team. You can't do that in the playoffs. If you're the Minnesota Timberwolves, you're the 7 seed at Memphis. That's not a thing. As long as Ant gets that, then there's not really as much of a concern. But I think that defensively, and I've strayed a little bit from the point, but defensively, he's been so good on the ball of late. He's arguably, outside of Patrick Beverley and Jaden McDaniels, been the Timberwolves' best on-ball defender in the last probably 2 or 3 months. He's been really, really good. There hasn't really been foul trouble concerns. He did get 5 fouls in the game on Saturday, so that is something to pay attention to. If he does guard the ball more, you don't want to stick him on John Morant and get him into foul trouble early, obviously. But throughout the year, that hasn't really been a concern with Ant because he didn't guard primary ball handlers much early in the season. And it was really just later in the season when Chris Finch became more comfortable sticking him on opposing teams, you know, better guards, better perimeter players. And he's been really good on the ball. I also wanted to shout out Malik Beasley. And he... same thing. He's been really, really good. It's one of the reasons why I'd advocated for Jalen Noel to get rotation minutes from, I don't know, from like last August, right? I've been talking really over a year now, last year, like this time last year, earlier before Chris Finch became the coach. Jalen Noel, you know, this team needed offense. He needed to be in the rotation. He's a good shooter. But defensively, he improved a little. Malik Beasley's the one that's made the biggest jump, and that's one of the reasons why he's solidly now, you know, he's like essentially the second guy off the bench, Beasley is, and Noel's out of the rotation. Now that we're in the playoffs and the team is, you know, assuming Torian Prince plays and everybody's healthy, then Jalen Noel's not in the rotation, Malik Beasley is. Well, Bees has been shooting the ball better, and he scored 20-plus on Saturday. Obviously, that's been great. But defensively, he's been really good. He's not a clear minus anymore when he's on the floor. Defensively, I should say. If he's on the ball, he at least is hit, the compete level is there. The athleticism has obviously always been there. He's just a little undersized, and he can still get kind of outflanked laterally at times. Off the ball is not always great for Beasley. But if the awareness is peaked for Beasley and if he's locked in, he can be an average defender. And if that's the case, I mean, you don't have very many minuses defensively on the perimeter for the Wolves. I mean, Jordan McLaughlin's a plus. Patrick Beverley obviously is. D'Angelo Russell would be the one that is anywhere between a minus. If he's at his best, D'Angelo Russell's kind of an average defensive player. He's not a clear minus this year when he's locked in. So you're talking about a team that defensively doesn't have very many players that are bad defenders in the rotation. You could argue that they're all roughly average or better in terms of one-on-one defense, factor in, you know, team defense. They've got a bunch of guys who can generate turnovers by jumping passing lanes and using their length and their basketball IQ to jump, to get their hands into passing lanes, deflections, et cetera. And Malik Beasley's been a big part of that. Remember, I talked about this all season long on this show. The difference between good and great is essentially the same difference as between bad and good, right? Obviously, that's way oversimplified. But to take two bad defenders like D'Angelo Russell and Malik Beasley and go from bad to average-ish, even if they're not good, but they're average or they're replacement level, to borrow a baseball term, defensively, that's the same as taking a good defender like, I don't know, Jared Vanderbilt or something and making them an outstanding defender. That's not a good example because he's always been above average. But, you know, it's this essentially the same jump as from average or good to great. And if all of your defenders are roughly average or better, you're going to have a good defense. And we saw the Timberwolves with a middle-of-the-pack defense at their best, a top defense for stretches this year. Excuse me, top 10 defense for stretches this year. And that obviously made a big impact on the Timberwolves winning and also in game one against Memphis. Okay, I want to close the show today by talking about three things that I'm going to be paying attention to on Tuesday night in game two. We're going to do that here next. First, though, let's talk about our friends over at Rock Auto. This episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com both at home and in your pocket. You can save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you could possibly need from brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil to even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, let's close the show by talking about three things to watch for on Tuesday night, game two, Wolves-Grizzlies, 7:30 p.m. tip on NBA TV because why? I don't know. The most compelling game of the night's on NBA TV, but whatever. I don't know. I don't really have anything else to say about that. I don't need to say anything else. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Anyway, number one thing to watch. How's Memphis going to guard Karl-Anthony Towns? Is Steven Adams still going to try and guard him one-on-one? That didn't work well on Saturday. Adams was arguably the worst player on the floor in that game. I don't know. I would be surprised if Adams played as much as he did on Saturday. Obviously, he got into foul trouble, but so did Jaren Jackson Jr. You know, if you've got options like Brandon Clark and Xavier Tillman, who I don't believe got off the bench on Saturday, I mean, you know, it's the playoffs, but like, you got to rotate those guys through as well. Adams was too often, if you're the Grizzlies, too often on an island against Karl-Anthony Towns, and the Wolves aren't just going to straight up post Towns, you know. They don't run very many just straight up post-ups for him against anybody anymore in the low post because teams just collapse the defense and make things difficult. It's easier to double down there. Also, Steven Adams is still a pretty good post defender. I think Towns would still take him in the post one-on-one. But why do that when you can take Adams on the perimeter or run him off of, you know, pin downs or curl screens or whatever, you know, run Towns around a double drag screen, whatever it is you want to do, make Adams move. That's why teams have guarded Towns with a mobile four is because it's a lot easier. Towns is an extremely mobile five. He's not a true five, right? He behaves like a power forward with size. He can score in the post, but he can also score at all three levels. He can take you off the dribble. So, I mean, guarding him, I was shocked that the Grizzlies did that. I'd be equally as shocked or more shocked if they continue to try and put Adams on Towns. Will they try and take a page out of the Clippers book? I said this before game one on Saturday, late last week, in the crossover I did with the Grizzlies guys last Friday. I didn't think that the Grizzlies would guard him like the Clippers did because I don't think they have the same personnel and generally not the same scheme. But we'll see if they adjust anything. Now Towns didn't do a ton like in isolation or the Wolves didn't run a ton of plays for Towns. He did a little bit more on the offensive glass and kind of, you know, a little bit more here and there in the game, the secondary break and stuff, than it was like straight up running the offense through Towns. He was kind of the Wolves' secondary option after Anthony Edwards in this game. But I don't know. I mean, you know, if that happens, if the Grizzlies do load up on Ant, we talked about earlier in the show that I don't know that Ant can't handle that. And also if D'Angelo Russell plays better than he did Saturday, which is very likely, it's a pick your poison situation. I think the Grizzlies are going to have to do something different with Towns, but I don't know how different they can really be. Another thing to pay attention to is the free throw rate versus the three-point rate. So the Grizzlies attempted 16 more free throws than the Timberwolves. The Wolves only attempted 27 free throws, which actually I say only. That's generally not a bad number for a game, right? To attempt 27 free throws. But it is when, or excuse me, 27 free throws. But it is when the opponent's attempting 43 free throws. So 16 more. They lost the free throw rate, the free throw attempt column by 16. Thankfully, Memphis didn't shoot them all that well from the line. And the Wolves far outpaced the Grizzlies in terms of three-point shooting, which you would expect given the attempt rate for both of these teams. And you would also expect the Wolves to foul a lot, right? Well, there's not going to be a 16 free throw gap again. And if there is, A, something went drastically wrong with the officiating, and or B, the Timberwolves aren't going to win. They're not going to win two games in a row if they lose a free throw attempt battle by 16. So that needs to flip, right? Or at the very least being more narrow. The Wolves need to continue to win the three-point battle. We heard Memphis talk post-game. Almost every player or coach that spoke to the media was asked, hey, do you guys need to shoot more threes to keep pace with the Wolves? And Taylor Jenkins, the head coach of the Grizzlies, basically, he just said yes. He's like, yeah, obviously the math, if they shoot a lot more threes and we shoot a lot more twos, he basically, I'm paraphrasing obviously, but he did pretty much just say, yeah, the math isn't going to work out in our favor if we don't shoot more threes. They only made, I think, seven on the night. So if the Wolves can keep that three-point imbalance, you know, are the Grizzlies going to run more stuff to try and get threes? Yeah, they're going to try and get Desmond Bane more involved. Are they going to try and get, you know, more open threes for Ja? Is Jaren Jackson going to keep trying to fire from the perimeter? The Grizzlies don't have that many plus three-point shooters. Obviously, Tyus Jones has been very good this year for them. Desmond Bane, clearly. Dylan Brooks is a good three-point shooter. How are the Grizzlies going to handle this? I don't know. But if the Wolves can keep that difference similar to where it is and narrow the gap free throw-wise, then I think they'll be in really good shape. The last thing should kind of go without saying, that's the rebounding battle. I talked at length about it last week. My worries about the Grizzlies being by far the best offensive rebounding team in the league, the Wolves being one of the worst defensive rebounding teams in the league. The Wolves out-rebounded the Grizzlies in this game pretty significantly, and they actually had more offensive rebounds. The Grizzlies only had 8 offensive rebounds, 4 of them by Brandon Clark. Can the Wolves keep the Grizzlies off the glass? Can they continue to throw 2-3 bodies at Steven Adams, at Jaren Jackson Jr., at Brandon Clark, and can they continue to rebound 5? Now, it's a bit of a catch-22 for the Grizzlies. If they take Adams off the floor, their offensive rebounding will suffer. And that's part of the reason it suffered, a big reason why it did in this game. Jaren Jackson Jr. played like 24, 25 minutes. Same with Steven Adams. They were both in foul trouble. Jaren Jackson didn't get any offensive rebounds. If those guys are on the floor more, and Jaren Jackson Jr. is always in foul trouble, but he's likely to be in, you know, it's unlikely he's in as much foul trouble as he was Saturday, you know, right away again in game 2. Can the Grizzlies do better on the glass in this game? Or if they play Steven Adams less, is that to their detriment on the glass? Does that ultimately help the Wolves? So it's obviously a push and a pull. It's a give and a take. You got to, you know, I guess you got to give something to get something, to use a bunch of turn of phrases. If the Grizzlies take Adams off the floor, they become less physical. They get less offensive rebounds. But if they leave him on the floor, the Wolves will target him and put Towns on the perimeter, run him off of multiple picks, try and get him open in a variety of ways, and put Adams through the ringer. So how will that be handled, and what will the rebounding battle look like when it's all said and done in game 2? All right, following the game on Tuesday, we'll, of course, do the live postcast. Myself and Chilanga Langison from Zone Coverage and the CND NBA podcast, we'll go live 10 minutes after the game, immediately following the buzzer. We'll do a 10-12 minute postcast live on the Locked On Sports Minnesota YouTube channel. Please go subscribe to that channel. It will not be on the Locked On Wolves YouTube channel. It will be live on the Locked On Sports Minnesota channel. And then I'll obviously tweet that link out as well from my account and from Locked On Wolves. And then it will post on all the audio platforms. So Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever you listen, you'll be able to find that live postcast. And then I'll do a full regular show following that. That'll likely post late Tuesday into the early hours of Wednesday morning on all of the channels, including the Locked On Wolves YouTube. So plenty of coverage following the game. So please stay tuned to all that. Thanks again for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, the show is free and available everywhere. That includes YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find this show and all of the Locked On shows. You can also follow Locked On Wolves on Twitter, at Locked On T Wolves, don't forget the T, and at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. A reminder that Locked On Wolves is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Also, thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen. You can make your second listen Locked On NBA, from the first jump ball of the play-in tournament to the last possession of the finals. Locked On experts take you deep inside the playoffs with insight and analysis affecting all 30 teams. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast. We'll catch you next time and enjoy game 2.